So to continue, it's an honor to be here for your celebration and to see all the beautiful preparation, the flowers, the logo, the new logo for this year of celebration and longer, and to be welcomed so warmly by you. It's been a while since I've been here. The last time I was here, Tom Kerr created a special customized sign for me, which I held on for about a very long time and had in my parkade, actually, until I moved, and then I had to divest myself of that. But I remember Holy Spirit Wanak and the generosity of its people for a long time. You are my first regular visitation since the pandemic started.
Wow.
You're my first one. I went to a live stream, but that's not a regular visitation. And I just want to say something about why I'm not celebrating the Eucharist. I've, in trying to figure out, as you know, there's a team of us who reviews all the reopening plans for parishes, and so we're really, that team is intimately knowledgeable about everything that the province puts out, that other dioceses are putting out, all the stuff. So in thinking about my role going around to different parishes, I thought it best for me to kind of take a more diminished role, preaching and invite your vicar or the rector of the parish to be the celebrant, to be the person convening the holy meal, simply because different parishes have different safety protocols, and I interrupting different places, it's just not very good. it can lead to stumbling. So that's the reason for that. Also want to say it's my custom, even in special occasions, to preach from the gospel or from one of the readings. And so this is not going to be a sermon simply about your history and your celebration, but it will be about one of the most important kind of pillars of the Christian faith and marks of Christian communities, forgiveness. Because if our churches are not in their histories and in their futures, beacons of or openings to forgiveness and that other thing called reconciliation, they are not living fully into the Christian message. And as you see, Jesus has some rather harsh things to say about those who withhold forgiving. And of course, forgiveness being something so important in each of our lives, my hope is it will also offer you something there. So just thank you so much for the invitation and for being a part of this beautiful celebration that continues on and in a completely physically distanced way from what I can tell, all the beautiful everything that, and all the effort. Your property looks great, by the way. And, you know, to welcome me and to mark this occasion. So, forgiveness. The American writer Ernest Hemingway wrote a story once about a father and his teenage son. In the story, their relationship, as can happen, had become strained, and as a result, that son had run away from home, so very strained. His father, as a result, began a search for his son, as many of us parents would do. Finally, and this search went on many places, finally, in Madrid, Spain, in a last desperate effort to find his son, the father put an ad in a local newspaper. The ad said this: "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. Your father." The next day, as the story goes, in front of the newspaper office, 800 Pacos showed up. They were all seeking forgiveness. They were all seeking the love of their parent, in this case, their father. And so today, on the day of your celebration, we're going to explore forgiveness. And we're going to explore it through the lens of what Jesus says to Peter in response to a question Peter poses to him about how many times church members need to forgive each other. So Peter has a very specific, you know, he's a church guy, right? Church members, what do they need to do? So our passage comes from the 18th chapter of Matthew, a body of material focused on life together in the church. It deals with such matters as who, from God's point of view, is the greatest and the least in church communities. You know, it's never what you think. How church communities will deal with people who repeatedly engage in behavior that threatens everybody's relationship. And finally, the question of just how much a person should have to forgive another person in the church. Given this context, Peter's question of, Lord, if another member of this, at the very beginning of this passage, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, you know, from my perspective, how often should I forgive? It's meant to be pragmatic. Peter actually wants to get an answer something like, three strikes and you're out, right? I don't even know that I give people three. Three strikes, you're out. So it's very, very pragmatic. How often? Jesus, as Jesus does, however, doesn't really deal with Peter's pragmatic question about how church communities should function. Instead, Jesus answers, and we've come to expect this from him, we are to forgive not seven times, but 77 times. It takes us into what I would call the realm of God, the kingdom of God, and I use the word realm, a place in our kind of hoped for dreams, a place in our imagination in which God's values, for once, are fully realized. You know, imagine the world as if God's values were fully realized in this world. And so the question Jesus ends up answering is this: if our lives were to fully realize God's dream for us human beings, what would forgiving others look like? And what we hear is this: forgiveness among human beings would look like God's own ability to forgive. That is, forgiveness would be inexhaustible and endless. That's God's capacity to forgive, inexhaustible and endless. And so, my friends, what is forgiveness and what is not forgiveness? And why is forgiveness so important to our life in God with one another? And what makes it such a vital part of the fullness of life to which God calls us, that the church is an expression of, that Holy Spirit wanted, is a local expression of? You're a local outpost of the kingdom. Isn't it crazy? It's really wonderful. You know, we're trying to encourage each other in the great tradition of this parish church to be those people in the world, out there in the world, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, rather than being another way. So let's start with what forgiveness is not. And I have to tell you, I love this topic because I, like every other human being, struggle with this. You know, each one of us has had things in our lives where we think we just can't get over it. We just can't get over that personal betrayal or that thing that happened, whether people intended it or not. So forgiveness is kind of God's mechanism of dealing with it. So let's start with what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. We often say that it is. It doesn't mean pretending something hasn't happened to us or expecting others to have a kind of amnesia about it. It's not about forgetting. Forgiveness is not about dismissing, that is, pretending that something that happened is inconsequential or insignificant, when in reality, it's a very big deal to us. Forgiveness is not about condoning, that is, it doesn't mean approving of the hurtful thing that has happened. Finally, forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. in that forgiveness does not necessarily require others to participate in it. Sometimes we're trying to forgive people who are no longer around. A parent who has died, a friend who's gone away. So forgiveness is not contingent upon actual reconciliation between two people. So if these things are not what forgiveness is, what is forgiveness? Someone speaking about person-to-person forgiveness put it this way. Forgiveness is an unconditional gift given to one who we believe doesn't deserve it. It is a person's merciful response to someone who has unjustly hurt another person. In forgiving, a person ultimately lets go of the negative feelings like resentment, negative thoughts like judgments, and negative behavior like seeking revenge toward the person who we believe created the injury. And if we were able to go to the next level, to the level of reconciliation, in reconciliation, the person doing the forgiving actually replaces those negative feelings with positive ones, thoughts and behavior towards the person who's injured them. Reconciling. So why is forgiveness so important in our life with God and with one another, particularly as we celebrate your history and your future? First, to borrow a bit of an image from our story from Exodus for today, you've got big readings for today, huge readings assigned for today. The liberation of the children of Israel, that amazing reading we heard about loving one another. Wow, he's a good reader, is he not?
Yes.
And brave, I would say. Got these big readings. So it's kind of like forgiveness is connected to that story from Exodus because forgiving someone or something allows us to walk out of our bondage to the past. It frees us, freeing us to live in the present and to move into the future rather than simply concentrating on that bad thing that happened to us once. One definition someone gave of forgiveness, therefore, is it's the ability to let go of the possibility of a better yesterday. Letting go of the possibility of a better yesterday, a past we wish we had had. Think about it. Once we're able to let go of the possibility of a better yesterday, the present and the future can, with God's help, open up before us more fully. You know, a second thing I think is forgiveness allows us to be more human. I don't know if you've had this experience of you had something you couldn't forgive in a person maybe. And so the way you begin to think of yourself is you're the righteous person. You're always right about stuff, and that person's always wrong. And it's not really true, is it? You're everything as they are. You've got gifts and foibles, just like that person. You've hurt people, they've hurt people, just like that person. So forgiveness gives us greater access to the totality of who we are, rather than we then become Mr., Ms., or someone righteous. So that's the second thing. And finally, forgiveness can be the first step towards something larger, toward reconciliation, the re-knitting and reconnecting of one person with another, the re-knitting and reconnection of unreconciled communities with one another. Through forgiveness and reconciliation, God mends our lives. And God can be a force for the mending of the world through the actions of churches and people related to churches. And Peter asked him, how many times must I forgive my neighbor? 7 times? Seems like a lot. And Jesus said, not 70, but 70 times 7. To Peter, who had no real idea of the benefits of forgiveness, he wasn't thinking about that. I'm sure this sounded extravagant and impossible, even a little exhausting. But this extravagant statement gets right at the root of why Christians are expected to forgive. It has to do with God. You know, the one whose quintessential nature is forgiveness. The one who relentlessly, extravagantly keeps forgiving us, keeps removing any barriers between God's self and us. The one who keeps creating a way for us to have a fresh start. That's because God is in the creation and recreation business. It's so interesting that this should come on this day, because in a sense, you know, as you look forward to the future here at Holy Spirit, you're in the recreation business. Even the logo, the beautiful logo, it feels like a new way of conceiving of the future. God is in the creation and recreation business, always rooting around for the signs of life and the signs of new life in the middle of our lives, particularly the middle of our lives that didn't go very well. Always looking to grow new things out of what has fallen apart or might fall apart. Always looking for the new being we can become. I'm speaking about us personally, in the midst of the broken pieces of our lives, the parts we don't feel so good about. Where in your life do you need to feel the forgiveness of God? Where do you need to look at forgiving others? What new future might you be able to move into should you let it sink into you that God is acting to renew you and through you in forgiveness? I don't know about you, but I would have been among those hundreds of Pacos showing up in Hemingway's story, seeking to be reunited with someone I loved. And here's the thing, we can have that. We can have that. We can open ourselves to the fact that God is forgiveness. We can open ourselves to the fact that when we forgive, it is the energy of God we are tapping into. We're showing forth the power of God. For God wants to transform our lives. God wants to transform our community and the communities our churches are in. God wants to transform the world, the whole world.